Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 34 of the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast. I'm Anthony Evangelista. As always, I'm here with Kyle Keegan. How are you today, Kyle?
You know, we started off the day really, really well. We had a great start to the day. So much good news. Bobby Shmurda got released from jail today after 7 years. We all know the Knicks hat, the dance, the yeah, that was great. Fans were back in Madison Square Garden tonight for the first time in almost a year, which is just incredible news. You know, that opens up the door for obviously Anthony and I to have many opportunities to maybe go to games in the spring and summer for baseball, basketball, whatever. So that was really awesome news. And then Julius Randle was named an all-star at about 6:30 today. Thank goodness we would have rioted if that were not the case, because he really deserved it, and he played really well again tonight. He was definitely not the reason why the Knicks lost.
Proved me wrong.
Yeah, but as we, as I stated, the Knicks lost tonight. They lost to the Warriors. What was the final? 114-106. Very underwhelming second half performance. The Knicks, for the second time in the past week, have failed to get back to 500. It was a doozy tonight, man. What are your initial thoughts?
So I caught the second half of the game. I wasn't able to catch the first half, and from what I've seen for the second half, it was just not a fun game to watch. I mean, RJ Barrett, man, come on. Like, I know that he's very inconsistent, but tonight was horrendous.
He had a really, really rough game. He missed a big free throw down the stretch. Four points on 1 of 9 shooting is not going to cut it. And, you know, and it's not like he's even been playing terrible lately, but I'll read you his stat lines recently, actually. So tonight was 4 points, 1 of 9, 21 against Minnesota, 15 against Orlando, 21 against Atlanta, 7 on 2 of 8 shooting against Houston, 8 on 3 of 13, and 13 on 5 of 14 before that, and 3 on 1 of 6 prior to that. So he's showing those signs, but he's not really doing what we kind of hoped in our season preview, where obviously Julius Randle's taken that mantle of being that guy on the team the way we hoped RJ would this year. And, you know, RJ's had really great games. And in fact, the best game of the season he had was against Golden State in San Francisco last month, where he dropped 28 and was the leading scorer in that game and had a double-double. And then tonight he laid an egg.
Curry's so good, man.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things. I mean, the Knicks had every opportunity to win this game. They missed a lot of easy shots in the second half. They went on a really, really, really poor run in the third quarter, the beginning of the third quarter. They just came out completely flat.
And the refs didn't really help. I mean, that reffing was absolutely horrible. I haven't seen that bad of a – and, like, look, that's not excusing
the fact – I mean, that was the worst officiated game that I can remember that the Knicks played this year.
Look, the Knicks did not deserve to win that game. But I think that the reffing did not help them in any way. I think that, like you said, that was a terrible officiating game.
And the impetus of that was at the end on that foul call that Kelly Oubre gets 2 free points. You know, you never know what could happen if the Knicks get the ball back down 3 there, if they get a quick 2, if they hit a big 3.
I'm like, I mean, you said it before we were recording, like, IQ's in a slump, obviously. This team's at a kind of a crossroads right now, and hopefully they're able to kind of get that their groove back in before this All-Star break. There's 5 games left. They should be able to win at least 3 of them. I think that they should go
at least 3-2.
Yeah, exactly. I think they should be able to go into this break kind of with a – what would that be? Would that be a 500 record or just below 500?
That'd be one game below if they were to go 3-2. And listen, I'll read out the games for you right now. It starts with Sacramento at home. They lost to the Kings at the Golden One Center in Sacramento earlier this year. That should be a bounce back. You got to win that one. It's a must win. You can't go 3 games under with fans in the building and yada, yada, yada. Then you got Indiana. That's a tough one. But those are the tough games that the Knicks are going to need to win if they need to make a serious bid at the playoffs here. So It's a big game Saturday night. They have Detroit on the road the following night. That's the worst team in the Eastern Conference. Then San Antonio, again on the road. That's another good team. Not competing against them in the playoff standings, but to get that one would be huge. I would say that's the one that the Knicks can afford to lose the most. That one's the one that they can afford to lose the most. They cannot lose to the Kings again. That would really stink. Losing to the Pacers would suck because, you know, you're fighting them in that mid-tier Eastern Conference area. You know, I think Indiana will end up being the 4 seed, actually, ahead of Boston. But, yeah, and then the two Detroit games, I didn't say this. It's then Thursday, the last game before the All-Star break. They have the Pistons. You need to find a way to definitely win both of those Detroit games.
I agree. I completely agree with that.
Yeah, that's the worst team in the Eastern Conference. You know, they always say, like, oh, you're beating bad teams, blah, 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 blah. Well, bad teams don't beat other bad teams. So the Knicks need to find a way to win both of those games. And, you know, they played another bad team on Sunday night, I believe. It was Sunday, the Minnesota game. And they had a 21-point lead and actually lost said lead and got lucky that Karl Anthony Towns missed a shot that he probably makes 9 times out of 10. So the last 3 games have been a struggle for the Knicks ever since Julius Randle dropped 44 on the Hawks. We need – and, you know, he hasn't been the problem. Like we said, he's an all-star now, as he should be, and he's still playing to that level. He had another good night tonight. You know, his shooting wasn't his – it wasn't his most efficient shooting game. He wasn't as proficient from three-point land, but he had 25, 10, and 7. So that's right around his averages. And, you know, if he gives you 25, 10, and 7 every game, obviously he's averaging 23, 11, and 5. You know, the other guys need to step up and find ways to win that game for you. And like we started this conversation out with, RJ Barrett was not good tonight.
Reggie
Bullock, you don't expect much out of him. He wasn't great. Alfred Payton dropped 20, but his efficiency wasn't great. He was 8 of 19. Derrick Rose started off really hot and then went cold in the second half. Alec Burks couldn't buy a shot. And Emmanuel Quickley isn't big time in the struggle bus right now.
And look, so I know you said it in our little group chat before, and so did Dylan Pescatore, but I think Quickley in this slump is almost excusable in the sense that he's still a rookie. He's still got room to learn. We're going into the All-Star break where he should be able to kind of fix anything that's been.
He might be a little bit fatigued right now.
Exactly, that kind of thing.
He's battling any injuries. I sure hope not, but we know he was a little hurt, banged up to start the year. So,
but with RJ, this is
a new season with a new system with Rose, but continue.
With RJ, this is legitimately starting to concern me because he's at a point where he's in a sophomore season. It shouldn't be happening as much as it does, this kind of inconsistency. And look, I love RJ. I'm rooting for him, but tonight was awful. Tonight was horrendous. And I look, if you're going to be the number one or the number two or even the number three option for this next team, you can't be putting up those numbers. You can't have these nights where you're just absolutely terrible.
Yeah. You hit it right on the nose, man. I mean, you know, you're right. Like sophomore season, he's got a little bit of – he has less leeway than Quickley, but more than most guys. And the thing that makes me feel a little bit better about RJ is that he does have his moments where he'll have 21 on good shooting.
Exactly.
He'll have 17 and 8 or, you know, he'll hit a big shot down the stretch. And tonight he didn't do any of those things. In fact, this might have been his worst game that he had all season with the circumstances considered. And it's the inconsistency, man. It's the inconsistency that's really killing him. Like I said, he's shown those spurts. He's had his moments, and he's had nights like tonight where, you know, if he hits 3 or 4 of the shots that he should have made, it's a different outcome.
Now, I'm going to ask you this. This doesn't have to pertain to the games from the past few nights, but do you think – so the NBA trade deadline is – I think a month and 2 days away. I think it's March 25th or 26th, one of those two. And obviously the Knicks are slightly fighting for a playoff spot. Potentially. We don't really know yet. It's the Knicks, but do you think that they make any big moves at this trade deadline or slightly before it?
No. I mean, it's hard to gauge what this team like really, really needs. You know, I know that Jeremy Goldstein, a good friend of ours, had mentioned that the Knicks need another big right now. Hopefully Mitch can come back in full strides, because I feel like Nerlens Noel's playing his role pretty well right now. But and Taj Gibson didn't have a terrible game, but he's not a five, you know. So I get that complaint. For me, the biggest thing I think the Knicks need is a more consistent knockdown shooter. I mean, Julius Randle's not a sharp shooter, you know. He's hitting his threes at a good consistent bout right now, but he's not that. The Knicks don't really have a guy that can like consistently spot up in the corner or on the wing and knock down shots as a sharp shooter, you know. I mean, Alec Burks and Reggie Bullock are as inconsistent as it gets in that category. And, you know, Reggie Bullock would be a fine player if he were on the second unit, but like,
I don't think that he should be.
I don't know, like, if he is a starting starts, he's not the best option for guys in the East to be a starting small forward.
I was never really a fan of him. I think that he's a solid role player, but for the time that he's been getting in this Knicks offense, it just doesn't really make sense at this point. I mean,
yeah, I would say the same for Alec Burks. I mean, the small forward position is the Knicks' weakest position, and I don't think it's even close.
Okay, now I'm on our friend Jeremy Goldstein's article right here. And
yeah, he writes for Daily Knicks, by the way. Check him out. He'll probably be on the show soon. So
he had this one trade that I saw that this isn't a big trade. This isn't going to be.
Oh, I actually read this article. I read this one that he wrote. I think I know what you're about to say.
So what do you think about the Knicks and the Pacers making a trade for Doug McDermott, where the Knicks give up Elfrid Payton and a second round pick?
Right now, Elfrid Payton's playing really well, but Dougie McBuckets has played in the Garden before, and he was a fan favorite for a little while.
I loved him, man. He was one of my favorite players when he was on the Knicks.
See, you know, I've done nothing but hate on Elfrid Payton, but right now I think he's very valuable to the team, you know, because Derrick Rose has his moments, but he hasn't been all that consistent yet. And I, you know, I think we were a little bit premature in saying that. I don't think that IQ is really ready to start yet.
I don't think
that. I know that goes back on things that I've said in the past, but I don't know if he's ready.
I think I'm in the same spot where he could be ready. He still needs a little more training, I think, but I feel like there's better options than Elfrid Payton. I think Elfrid Payton starting or having the way that the Knicks are playing right now. I mean, look, Elfrid Payton has stepped up his game the past few nights. I completely give him credit for that, but I still don't think that he should be on this Knicks team by the end of the year.
Yeah. If anything, he's buffing his trade value a little bit. I mean, we know he's not the starting point guard of the future.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is pretty much set in stone for the time being. Is like, that's what we want Emmanuel Quickley to be. But I don't know how moving Derrick Rose into that starting role would go down right now with his inconsistent play. I mean, he had three great games to start off, and he's having three not as great games.
I would take the risk. I think that Derrick Rose would be not maybe a solid option, but look, I'm willing to take the risk. I'm willing to. If the Knicks are able to move Elfrid Payton and get a viable asset in return, like a Doug McDermott or like another solid forward that's able to kind of space the floor, I feel like that would be 100% worth it.
Okay, but then I have a question for you if that's the case.
Yes.
Does Elfrid Payton does he waive his no trade clause to go to Indiana right now?
That's a really good question. I don't understand why Elfrid Payton has a no trade clause in the first
place. I don't either. That was a terrible signing by Perry. Mills, excuse me.
Look, I think that I don't know. It was a stupid signing. I think that because he got re-signed this offseason, right? Because he was
I thought we signed him in like the Randall Gibson like 2 years
ago. That's what I thought, but I'm pretty sure he was on a 1-year deal. I don't know. I think that what ended up happening was he signed to a 1-year deal, and this offseason they re-signed him, and that's when the no trade clause was added. Let me look though. Alfred Payton.
I don't remember. I'm just gonna be straight. I don't remember. But I don't know. I'm having a hard time trashing on Alfred Payton right now, like I usually do, just because he's been playing better.
Yes, he was re-signed in the offseason.
I think that he's been a better point guard. He's been the best point guard on the team the last week. Is that such a crazy thing to say?
It's not. It's not. Look, I am completely giving him credit. He is – I wouldn't say he's a starting point guard in this league, but I think that he could be
– He shouldn't be.
He shouldn't be. Yeah, exactly.
On a good team, he shouldn't be.
On a good team, I think he would be a very good sixth or seventh man. He would be a very good role player to fill in for a starting point guard when necessary. But I don't think that the role that he's in the Knicks fits. And granted, he's been playing great recently. He's been solid enough to maintain his starting position and kind of silence the Knicks fans that were very much against him 2 weeks ago. But
us.
I don't know. I don't think that he should be on this Knicks team. And look, if you look up – so I just looked up
– at the very least, not moving forward.
I just looked up Alfred Payton re-signed to kind of get that date of if he got re-signed this season or he got signed to a 2-year deal last year. And it was – the first thing that shows up is a YouTube video where it's New York Knicks re-sign Alfred Payton, and he has a no-trade clause with the mad emoji. So clearly this has been
something – All right, well, how many years do we have Alfred Payton signed for?
I believe that it's a 1-year deal again. I think it's just a 1-year, $5 million or something like that.
Bro, that doesn't even make any freaking sense to me. Why would you sign a no trade clause for a 1-year deal?
I don't understand it. It is a Knicks move, but I don't understand it.
All right. I mean, okay. I'm going to say something kind of crazy right now. What is the likelihood that the Knicks go after a guard? Like a Chris Paul. I think Lowry's a free agent. A DeMar DeRozan.
In the offseason?
Yeah.
Listen,
Julius Randle is getting the Supermax because the city loves him now, and he's not even playing in a contract year, and he's having a career year. You know, he's a Knick. I'd be utterly shocked if the Knicks don't give him a Supermax. We haven't given out a Supermax since, ever. Like, Melo.
Yeah, really. It's been a while. I mean, granted, our last All-Star – was Porzingis in 2017.
Yeah, but Porzingis was hurt.
Exactly. But, like, look, the Knicks haven't had this kind – I don't want to say star power because it's really –
No, Randall's the best player since Carmelo Anthony.
Randall has been the best player since Carmelo Anthony. I think it could have been Porzingis, but obviously with the injury –
Porzingis never – Randall's already better than Porzingis ever was in a Knick uniform.
I'm happy about that.
I'm fairly certain of that. I don't know. I mean, we wouldn't be having this conversation at all if the Knicks had won tonight.
No, I agree. I think that this kind of put a damper on this Knicks team's run. They won 2 out of their last 3, not including tonight, with their win. They had a really tight win against the Wolves the other night, which was incredibly exciting to watch.
I mean, unnecessary as hell. But
oh, yeah. 100%.
One thing I'll say about that, though, is that, like, I don't even think the Knicks are necessarily on – we're on one of their hot streaks, and I say that in air quotes. They really deserve to lose against Minnesota on Sunday, and they got lucky. And they really deserve to lose tonight, and they got unlucky. And they played really, really, really poorly against Orlando, especially in the second half. The second half has been a problem. So maybe this next week off, after these next 5 days, they need to get refocused. You know, I don't really have too many complaints about Thibodeau, but tonight he was very stubborn about his rotations in the second half.
I think in terms of coaching, he's done a great job with the assets that he has. But like you said, it's more the rotations than anything. Like, it just – most of them don't make sense. And that was obviously very clear in tonight's game.
Keeping in the starters that long to start the third quarter was incredibly stubborn, especially – I mean, listen, this Knicks team, I don't know if it's – this might not be that fair to say, but, I mean, we seem to live and die with the bench unit recently.
Yeah, really. I mean
– and tonight it wasn't the case, but it seemed that whenever Steph Curry was on the floor, our defense couldn't do a thing.
I'm look, that guy is obviously absolutely.
There's a reason he won MVP twice.
Yes.
And he's the main reason the Warriors won tonight, other than all the ref help they got.
Yeah, no. I mean, what did he have? 37 points? Something like that? But that's not the point. The Knicks did not deserve to win tonight. And that's a point of defense. That's a point of the correct rotations happening. I don't know.
A lot of – no, listen, but this Knicks team is not talented enough yet for them to kind of falter like this against really talented – or I won't even say really talented teams – against a top three player in the world and win the game.
Now, I do just want to say, if you look at the plus-minus for this game
– yeah, and I know the starters are terrible.
Yeah,
and the bench is really good. Positive. One silver lining, I will say that stat is flawed because a lot of that was in the second quarter when Steph Curry was not in the game.
Yeah, that is true.
Because the Warriors are a different team when Steph Curry is on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Reggie Bullock should not be starting.
I mean, yeah, no, that's a problem, man. Listen, I don't know what the likelihood of a Bradley Beal blockbuster or a Zach LaVine blockbuster would be.
Not happening. I mean, think that
the Wizards are winning games now, so that's not happening. Why would the Bulls trade Zach LaVine?
It's their saving grace. I don't think that there's any sense. Reason.
Yeah, his first year All-Star again. First year All-Star for him this year, so.
Mm-hmm. This well yeah. deserved.
I mean, seriously, yeah, really well-deserved. A couple of the first-year All-Stars I thought was really well-deserved. I say, like, Sabonis, Randall, Jaylen Brown, like, LaVine.
Yeah, no.
Then, yeah, no, they. I mean, a lot of, like, good for them kind of moments, you know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. No, I completely agree. All right, so from there, we've had our fair share of Knicks. We'll definitely get into a lot more after this little break, I mean, before the break, really, because we still got five more games. We'll definitely have another pod or two just focused on those five games. But for now, let's head over to the Rangers. Obviously, very big European collusion event happened recently.
You won't even say Russian. That cracks me up for some reason.
Look, that entire situation with Panarin is absolutely nuts.
Bro, okay. This isn't even about hockey. And the Rangers have won two games in a row.
Mm-hmm. But just this entire
talk about it. Those are two games that they shouldn't win on the road in Philly and in Washington. And, you know, they really outplayed the Caps on Saturday in Washington. That was a really good team win. And the Philly game, they fought some adversity. They were the best team. They were the better team throughout the whole game, but giving up a goal in the last minute and then having to go to a shootout was a little much for me. I mean, here's the thing about the Rangers. We'll talk about the team before we get into the Panarin thing. They've got Philly again tomorrow. They're 6-7-3. They're in a really tough division. Like I said last week, I don't really expect them to make the playoffs, but right now this is a team playing without a top four defenseman in Jacob Trouba out for at least a month with his injury last week. Panarin's going to be gone for who knows how long. That's their best player. It's their best player. Kaapo Kakko is back on the reserves because, you know, his diabetes and yada, yada, yada. And Filip Hedl hasn't played a hockey game in almost a month, and he's their second best center.
Yeah. Okay, hold on. I just want to say, back to the Panarin thing, three of his former teammates in Russia have told the Post that they have never heard of the assault allegations made by their ex-head coach and find it very difficult to believe.
I mean, here's my take on it. And like, we don't know anything right now. Obviously I pray to God that this isn't true. And I'm fairly certain that it's not.
I don't think it is.
In the original story, political hit piece.
Look, the fact that the Rangers put out such a bold statement, like when you said that to me, I was so surprised that the Rangers put that out, because the fact that they were so certain on it not being real has to say something about, one, the organization and their support for Panarin, and two, about how outlandish these claims are.
Okay, so here's what I know, and I'm sure that you also read up on it, so you know, but this is just to clarify for some people. The man who accused him, I don't remember his name. He was a former coach about 10 years ago He's still a coach in the KHL. He coached Panarin. And for a little background here, Panarin has been extremely outspoken against Vladimir Putin and the Russian Communist Party for a while. There was an article in 2019 where he pretty much bashed Russian leadership, and they asked, Artemy, I can't believe you're saying such things, yada, yada, yada. And he's like, I can speak my mind. I don't care. And I respect Artemy Panarin for that. I'll always respect athletes for speaking their opinion, you know, like, shut up and dribble. Like, that's stupid. Like, this is along those same lines. Yeah. Like, I'm all for athletes speaking their mind as long as it doesn't become a distraction to the game.
Yeah.
So with that being said, you know, the guy that was quoted as accusing Artemy of these allegations is a nut.
Yeah.
It's been pretty clear that former players, former associates, blah, blah, blah. Almost everything I've heard is pointing to that this guy is a psycho and he's just a nut job. So, and not to mention, like, I don't know how important this is, but this 18-year-old girl that Panarin essentially is being accused of assaulting, I haven't heard anything from her saying anything. Like, so this isn't like a always believe the girl, like, me too kind of thing. Like, not to be insensitive, I'm just, that's just, you know, because you're always believing
just the point of
something popular now. So
right now we don't have any information on anything in this other than the constant rebuttals from people saying that this isn't true and that Panarin is really not in the wrong because he didn't do anything. Now, I mean,
other than this nut job guy who is clearly a puppet of Putin, I would say.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, we haven't heard really any. It's almost everyone's backed them. And to back what you said, the fact that the New York Rangers, an American private-owned enterprise, would go out of its way to pretty much call out a whole country is bold. It's strong. And, you know, I obviously don't know Artemy Panarin, but from what the guys said in the room today from their first practice this week, Quinn's got his back, Kreider's got his back, Buchnevich, a fellow Russian, they've all been like, yeah, I don't see it. Ryan Strome said something. Like, it seems that Artemy Panarin is like a glue guy. He wants to play in New York. And that's why, of course, the Rangers are going to back their player. Artemy Panarin is probably the best skater the Rangers have had since Jaromir Jagr, because obviously Lundqvist was a goalie, but
yes.
I don't think that's such a stretch to say. But, you know, I think the real reason he's taking a leave is not because he's worried about the allegations, because I guess we should be fairly certain that they're not true. But Artemy has family in Russia that could potentially be
in danger.
Yeah, which is a scary thing. It's a scary thing. The government holds a lot of power in that. And a lot of these major countries, obviously, it's similar to like that in the U.S. and China as well. But, you know.
No, but it's different in the sense that Russia is not a democracy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's scary stuff, man. And I wish Artemy the best. And hopefully this gets figured out sooner rather than later. And the next time he steps on the Garden ice, he's going to get a big hand for a plethora of reasons.
Definitely.
And I just hope he's safe and okay. And, yeah, man, it's some pretty crazy deep stuff. I mean, this is a point where you really have to mix politics and sports.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no avoiding it right now. It's a crazy story, man.
It is. It's very crazy.
Yeah, I guess all we can really do right now, because we don't know much, is hope to God that it isn't true, that it is just what I think it is, a political hit piece. And just wish the Panarins the best, because that's scary. Have your final take on it before we move on to some baseball stuff?
Look, I mean, obviously nobody is aware of what really happened. It's looking right now that Panarin is innocent, and this is more of a political thing more than anything. Obviously, with the Rangers coming out with their statement and how so many people are backing him. But look, I'm just hoping that this entire saga, whatever you want to call it, ends a lot sooner rather than later, because I'd love to see him back on the ice again.
Yeah. Yeah, and to go on with the Rangers, just real quick, you know, they've got a big game in Philly tomorrow. They've won two straight. They're playing good hockey. Hopefully, they have three of their, like, top six forwards are out now, and one of their top four defensemen. So it's going to be tough to win some hockey games like this. Shesterkin's going to have to stand on his head again. Hopefully he has a big night tomorrow in Philly. So, spring training.
Spring training, yeah. Let's head over to the
training. I mean, like, what do we have to talk about other than that there? Do you want to – I mean, everyone reported to – oh, I have some Yankee stuff. Judge fixed his teeth.
That's what I was about to say. That was my next thing.
Judge fixed his teeth. That's pretty funny.
People can't call me Judge anymore.
Your teeth weren't messed up. You just have the same hair and, like, face shape as him.
No, I don't see it.
Can you look at the camera for a second, please?
I don't see it.
You literally have glaring similarities to Aaron Judge.
I don't know what to say to that.
Except you're Italian and he's biracial. That's like, you're like the Italian short,
hey,
skinnier Aaron Judge.
I feel like this is the first time I've been called short in a very long time. That's not the
actually okay. Well, compared to him.
Compared to him, I know.
How tall are you actually?
7 and massive. I'm 6'1", 6'2" now.
Okay, so I'm 6 foot. So you're actually taller than me. But compared to Aaron Judge, you're short.
Okay, that's fair. I'll take that. He is
6'7", an absolute tank. Really, really short. I wasn't sure if Frank was just really, really short or if you were just really tall. How tall is Frank?
Frank is 5'6", 5'5", 5'6".
Frank is short.
That's great. No, but
Frank.
Aaron Judge did fix his teeth. That was something to see at the press conference.
Oh, I have something. Did you see like the Syndergaard Stroman versus Bauer stuff on Twitter?
Yeah, that was very.
That was pretty cool. I mean, I'm all for Syndergaard and Stroman there. Like Stroman kind of annoys me as a Yankees fan. Like to me, Marcus Stroman, and I think he'll probably have a different opinion to me on this, but
obviously.
To me, Marcus Stroman is like the guy who had a huge crush on a girl and the girl never liked him back. And he now gets in a relationship with this other girl that is good friends with the first girl. And now he never shuts up about the other girl.
This is very specific.
No, it's not. It's about how he talks about the Yankees all the time. Like a reporter asked a question last week and he was like, how exciting is it that you're getting the opportunity to, like, sign this extension with the Mets, play in front of the fans, yada, 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 with a new owner? And he goes, well, yeah, I'm really excited to play with the Mets because a lot of my family is Mets fans because people actually said that they were Yankees fans. You know, that people said that I wanted to be on the Yankees. That wasn't true that I wanted to be on the Yankees. And more people are Mets fans in my family, not Yankees fans. So, yeah, no, not the Yankees. LFGM. And it's just like he never played for the Yankees. I don't know why he's so obsessed with the Yankees. The Yankees didn't want him. Well, and, like, it's just no hate to Stroman, but, like, I don't know. It's just so weird. Like, it's so weird the way he talks about the Yankees. And, I'm not the type of Yankees fan to be like, Mets rent, the Yankees live rent-free in Mets fans' heads, blah, 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 because it goes both ways.
Yeah, no, he seems to be very adamant on his, not hatred, but absolute dislike for the Yankees.
It's not a dislike. He's obsessed with them. He's a weirdo.
No, he is. He is very. I was noticing that a few days ago. I was like, "That's."
I don't know why.
Interesting to continue to bring up, even though it has absolutely nothing to do with.
He was like, "Oh, did you say something about the Yankees?" It's like, no. Like Marcus Stroman goes to a restaurant in New York, and he's like, "Sir, what would you like to order for your dinner?" Oh, I don't play for the Yankees. I play for the Mets. I hate the Yankees, bro.
Look, as a Met fan, I'm very excited to see that kind of level.
No, listen, a Yankees-Mets rivalry is not a bad thing. It's just that with Stroman, it's weird. It doesn't make any sense. With
Stroman, it is weird.
Because he got knocked around.
Unnecessary. It's very unnecessary. Classic.
I mean, whatever. Anyway, the Stroman – I mean, Bauer did the Mets dirty. I don't know if we really talked about that. We talked about how he signed with the Dodgers, but he did toy with the Mets, and then Syndergaard trolled him. Listen, I love Noah Syndergaard. He's a funny guy. He's always been – he honestly might be my favorite player on the Mets, and he has been for a long time. He's just a likable dude, really good pitcher. I love the long blonde hair, you know? It's just like – Syndergaard's probably my favorite Met, to be honest with you.
I love him. I mean, look, obviously he hasn't really been in action recently, but like I say, I mean, Thor is one of my favorite Avengers. Got to say that Thor is also one of my favorite MLB players.
We should have a WandaVision segment.
I'm down for next.
Okay. Yeah, there's two episodes left. But I don't know. That just made me think of it. But for Thor and Luis Severino, nothing but a healthy recovery coming. I guess we could talk about Luis Severino real quick because we're kind of bouncing around. Port St. Lucie and Tampa right now. But he said he expects to be back on the mound June or July and that he'll be thrown off the mound next week. I don't know if that's just him saying stuff, but that's fantastic news if that's the case.
That's very promising.
Yeah. This Yankees rotation in October, I feel it could potentially live or die with Luis Severino, because I feel like we're all pretty certain that Gerrit Cole is going to be a stud. He's the best pitcher in the American League. He has been for the last 3 years. And Tyone and Kluber, there's a lot of untapped potential there. Obviously, we know what Kluber – we've seen Kluber be great. He's a two-time Cy Young winner. I don't think he'll get quite back to that form, but he could be great. And then Jameson Tyone with just unreal potential. And, you know, when players get traded from the Pirates, they tend to break out a la – Tyler Glasnow, Austin Meadows. There's other one. Gerrit Cole. I'm an idiot. I should have said that one first. Gerrit Cole.
No, he's not that big of a deal.
Gerrit Cole was already really good in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's less. But he got really, really good. He got great in Houston. I think that's the best way of putting it.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of potential there. And then to round out the Yankees rotation for the time being until Sevy comes back, it's gonna be Devy and Montgomery. Montgomery is more of a you know what you're getting guy, but I'd like to see Devy really step up this year. And then to continue with the Yankees pitching, the Domingo Germán situation, obviously Zach Britton kind of spoke out against that. And then apparently Germán talked to the players. It was either today or yesterday. I don't really remember. I was like scrolling through Twitter saying like, hey, like just addressing the team. I don't know what was said, but hopefully it tied up some loose ends, amended some, maybe, I don't know about broken relationships, but like untrust and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it with the Yankee side. Clark Schmidt got shut down, which stinks for a month or so, but I don't know. That stinks. Gardner's back. Gardner's back. That was the last thing I wanted to say. Gardner's back. No surprise there. He'll be the fourth outfielder. He'll get his reps against righties. And inevitably once Hicks, Frazier, or Judge goes down, or Stanton, he'll get his at-bats. So yeah. Gardner fanatics, I know that you exist because you guys are weird, but yeah, he's back. Do you have any Mets stuff before we close up here? Because this,
other than Stroman being extremely weird and the fact that I don't look like Aaron Judge anymore. Which doesn't.
Yeah, you do. You don't even have messed up teeth. It has nothing to do with your teeth.
Well, we'll see.
Smile. Let me see your teeth right now. You have normal teeth. His teeth were like you know how teeth are supposed to touch each other? Look at my mouth.
I'm not speaking about this.
No, but his teeth used to just not even touch each other. Now he has a completely normal smile.
Yes, he does.
What a happy fella.
I just want Steve Cohen back on Twitter. That's my.
He is back on Twitter.
Is he? No way. I've
literally
not seen
today. Literally today, I swear to God, he reactivated.
Okay, you're right. He is back. I'm heading down. He said, I'm heading down to spring training this weekend again. You can feel the positive vibe amongst the players. Let's go, Mets. Okay, that's good.
I mean, here's the thing. I'm hoping for 90 win seasons out of both New York baseball teams at least. Mm-hmm. I think that the goals for both teams should be the Mets should try to get to like 85-90. The Yankees should try to get 95-100. I think those are realistic win ranges for both teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, before we wrap up, I know I'm kind of rambling at this point, but the Mets have always been like a preseason darling pick to make a wild card or blah, blah, blah. I mean, they made some real changes this year up at the top and on the field. It's not the same old like bargain bin, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. The Mets feel different, kind of, except for when their owner has to shut down Twitter because he's runs a hedge fund. And
okay, well, you know what? There's only so much we can control. You know, whatever he does, no matter what.
Also, all the sections, all the allegations that happened with the Mets, that was weird too.
Yeah, that was very.
That was really weird.
But hey, it's not Cohen, and it's something else than the Wilpons. So I'm good. Granted, I'm not happy with the coaches that continuously get accused of sexual assault, but that's not the point.
Yeah, we'll get a new weird going with the Mets. I don't know. The Mets are either going to start off, mark my words, the Mets are either going to start off like 11-1 or like 1-11.
Yeah.
No in between.
It'll be the latter. It'll be 1-11.
No, it won't. They'll start off 11-1, but then end up going 85-77 and losing in the wild card game to like the Padres.
We'll see.
Actually, I don't know. They probably would win the wild card
game. I think they're going undefeated, to be honest. I think they're winning
every. I think the Mets are going to go 162-0 or 0-162.
If there's even an 162 game season.
Oh, there will be. I'm confident.
All right. Well,
okay, so before we end, we should talk about the scheduling thing. After the All-Star break, once spring training games are into full swing, we'll have more to talk about. And we're going to start doing 2 episodes a week for real this time. Yeah, and also more guests, Knicks guests, Yankees guests, Mets guests. I'm saying guests a lot.
Michael Guest,
shout out. You know who you are. If you know, you know.
We'll definitely have a lot more guests in the future. We'll have a lot more things to talk about, hopefully. Julius Randle's an all-star. That's something to be happy about.
And the Knicks are still in a playoff spot.
Exactly.
And it is late February. I don't care that it's a weird year. It's late February and the Knicks are still in a playoff spot.
The Knicks are going into the All-Star break potentially with a playoff spot.
Probably. The Celtics lost tonight and the Raptors lost. So we kind of keep pace with them because they were the two teams right ahead of us.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll talk more about that in our next episode. But that is all for us today. Just real quick, drop the socials. I am Anthony Evangelista7 on Instagram, Anthony EV7 on Twitter. You could follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Big Apple Sports Media, on Twitter, Big Apple SP Media.
As always, I'm at Kyle Keegan on Instagram and Twitter, but the L is a 1. That is Kaiwan E. Keegan. We will see you soon. Hopefully better Knicks news. Hopefully better Rangers news. Hopefully the Yankees trade for Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah, that'll happen. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next time. Me and Kaiwan E. Keegan.
Thanks, guys.